So we have the privilege to listen to Friedrich Aschoff. Since Ottmaring, he has been part of this movement, a friend, a supporter. He was 14 years long the leader of the charismatic renewal within the Lutheran Church in Germany. And he wears the nicest tie here among us. Where do you buy this? It's not to be, cannot be bought. It has to do with being a father and a son. So we ask you to bring us the message of the Lord today. It's a joy to talk to you. And it's even exciting for me. I'm a little nervous. I think back to the time in Ottmaring, where I heard first time the report by Thomas Cocktail, when he climbed up the pulpit to the empty pages of the Bible here in Wittenberg in the church. And when I heard that story, I was remembered of the last word and verse in the Old Testament and the first verse in the New Testament, Matthew 1:1. Theologians say those two verses don't fit together, but I believe they do fit. In Malachi 3, it says God will send someone who will change the hearts of the fathers to the children. And in Matthew 1:1, it says that is the story of Jesus Christ, the son of David, the son of Abraham. One can say this doesn't fit together, but it still fits. It matters that fathers and sons get reconciled and become one. Who are the fathers? Our fathers were all in the Roman Catholic Church. And their spiritual fathers, even their earthly fathers, were the Messianic Jews of the first century, before the separation happened, in the time when the church was still united. Our sons are the people in the free churches who separated from us after the Reformation. And so I realized if this movement here is from God, then it has to do something with the reconciliation and turning towards each other, fathers and sons, mothers and daughters, that they will get together, come together and become one. And this was something where I could fully put my heart into at that time in Ottmaring. And this was my initial getting started to become a part of this movement. I myself come from a pastor's family, and my sister says way back, even to the point before the Reformation, we always had pastors in our family. So that's five generations. Yeah, so the last five generations and my son were all pastors in the Lutheran Church in Bavaria. So I do know a bit about what I'm talking about when I talk about seeking unity, desiring unity, and to make it. I was asked to talk about the treasures of the Reformation. After what we have heard in the last days, this is not so easy because we have been looking at the dark background, especially of Luther. But it is important to focus our light on the treasures as well. Many things need to become clear to us. The Reformation was the most foundational event of the German history and maybe of the European history as well. When the Roman Empire collapsed around the year 500, and in the Middle Ages started. So it lasted about 1,000 years. We have heard some of that, and I will not repeat that. How did the collapse happen, and how did the Reformation come about? There was an invention about 30, 40 years before Luther, and this was the invention of the printing press. One could compare it to what we are experiencing with the digital media, electronical media. What the spread of news and information are we experiencing right now. And in a similar way, it was at the end of the Middle Age. There were only few books before that, and they had been written by hand. And so the invention of the printing press was a major factor that allowed to publish not only scientific matters, but first of all, the Word of God and theological matters. So what a pivotal event. And something else was the possibility to translate the Bible out of the original languages. In humanism, there was a slogan which said ad fontes, and it meant back to the roots, to search for the things that happened in the source materials. That was the concern of the humanist movement. Then there was a movement of piety, and that was based on the piety of Franciscus from Assisi and others. And then thirdly, there was a person who should have been a very normal, average person, the man Martin Luther. About his story, life story, I will not say too much. I came from a family that had come to some wealth by dealing with iron ore. The father put an emphasis on good education. He wanted that his children would study something. So he desired that Martin should study legal matters. He should go into administration somewhere. And on his way to the study, in those days, higher education didn't take so much time as today. And they had a basic study of certain subjects. And during that time, he had a very dramatic experience when lightning hit next to him, and he was terrified by the thought, what would happen to me if I would die now? How must the life of a truly believer be so that he could stand in front of a holy God? How must a man be so that he can be justified before God? How can I find a God of grace? And that was a very personal issue for him, very basic. And in that situation, he had the privilege to have a very special person as his personal mentor, Staupitz with name. And this man guided him. Martin was a person that wanted to do everything with force. And Staupitz taught Luther to seek for the guidance of the Holy Spirit. And under his mentorship, Martin studied, and his mentor realized what giftings Martin brought along. When the University of Wittenberg was founded, Martin was one of the first doctors of theology there. when he taught the Bible, especially the Psalms, or when he was teaching Romans, the letter to the Romans, he realized that what he had been taught before was not in accord with the New Testament. There is a God of justice, but God is also a God of mercy. The humanists did translate the text out of the Hebrew. Johannes Reuchlin and Erasmus von Rotterdam. And so when Luther later on translated the Bible, he could use the best translations available at that time. Martin Luther was born and lived in the time of new beginnings, but there had been a blockage to Reformation within the church, and it lasted more than one century. It had to do with the burning at the stake of Jan Hus. The church was split. There were several popes at the same time, one in Avignon in France, one in Rome. They each excommunicated each other, and so it was a terrible state. They sought change by diplomacy, but not by a spiritual way. In this situation, in which the Catholic Church was at that time, there was just a stop, and people sought to get salvation by external means, by buying indulgences. They hoped to get forgiveness of sins for people who had already died and for their own. The church has been hurt, and people had to pay to get that right again. In this period of not any reform happening that lasted over 100 years, at the end of it, now there was a kind of a spiritual eruption with the start of the Reformation. On October 31, 1517, when Luther had written the 95 Theses, the general understanding is that he had nailed them to the door of the church, but it does seem that this has not been happened. Rather, he sent the letter to the bishop in Mainz. The story of nailing the thesis to the door is still a signal, or is still a picture of what has happened, even if it happened in a different way. People came to Luther, who had bought some letters of indulgences in a village nearby, and in talking with these people, he found out that their heart was not moved at all to any change. They presented the letter of indulgence, but they were not changed. And this was one of the reasons why Luther said, he came to the conclusion, this simply cannot be right. I must raise my voice against that. And he did. So the whole history of the Reformation has to do with his personal experiences. In one of his songs, the song "Now Rejoice All You Christians," he actually tells much about his own life experience, the despair, the government of sin in his life, that his own good works didn't help him, the weakness of his will, the the anxiety, the fear of hell. That was his life, feeling, realizing the power of sin. In the Psalms and in the letter of Romans, he discovered God is different. He wants to change us into his image. He wants to change us into, transform us into the image of Jesus. And so the person of Jesus became more and more central and important for Luther. And so he realized nothing can pass by Jesus. He is the center, he is the king, he is the one who rescues us. And the gospel means God is saying to us how we can find salvation. In the gospel that was now open to him, he experienced the good news that God is a God who gives grace as a gift. And of course he had to come in conflict with the Middle Age Church on these matters. So the reformers realized God is giving, granting grace alone by grace and without our works, alone through Christ. Of special importance was the translation of the Bible by Luther. During the time when he was imprisoned, so to speak, for his safety's sake on the Wartburg, his understanding was sharpened when he worked exclusively in translating the Bible into German. And he realized the wrongness of the indulgence theology and practice, that it was not according to the gospel of Jesus Christ, that it did not lead to an understanding of the justification by faith in Jesus. After the 95 Theses and the disputation in Leipzig 1 year later, he had to be in front of the Reichstag in Worms, 1521, where he was challenged to revoke. And his conscience played a very important part for him, role for him. He said, I cannot do something contrary to my conscience. And later on, at another Reichstag, he got into danger for his life because of that stance to follow his conscience. Would they have condemned him right on the spot, he would have been vogelfrei, which means everybody could have killed him at the spot when he found him. So he was brought to the Wartburg in order to be hidden away from the public and from this fate. He was given the name Junker Jörg, and so he had time to translate the Bible into the language of the common people. And by the means of printing presses, the New Testament and later on the whole Bible could be dispersed widely. Something else, the role of his conscience was one side, but also the question of his identity. Who is he, Martin Luther? A monk, a professor of theology, and he was thinking about the common priesthood. He developed a thinking that the whole society needs to take up responsibility, not just the leading elite of society. Up to that time, the spiritual, the clericals were on top of the society, of the leaders of society. And through Luther's theology that began to be changed. He founded his theology on, for example, on Peter's writings. You are the chosen people. You are a holy priesthood. Each one, each believer, each Christian is under, he's called to carry his responsibility. And God is speaking through his word to each and everyone directly. And when bishops and the Pope is not doing his duty or their duty, then non-clericals are challenged to do what God is calling them to do, take up the responsibility. Each one who is baptized has the gospel and is a person of faith, is able to do what God wants them to do. Another treasure of Reformation was a growth of appreciation for family and marriage. For Luther, marriage is not a sacrament anymore, but a worldly thing. But at the same time, he honors marriage much more than the asceticism that was in such a high role at that time. Luther is honoring creation by this stance. Marriage is not a sacrament, it's a worldly matter, but it is something according to God's will. And the order for marriage by the state, by society, is very important. So it was no wonder that from 1525 on, many, many reformers got married, priests and nuns. He himself married Katharina von Bora, a former nun. So I'm sorry, I didn't get that now. He mentioned Astrid in our midst. So the Lutheran home of the pastor, the parochial home of the pastor, was actually founded in that time, and it became a very important factor for the Lutheran church. The pastors were educated, but they were not wealthy. And there was also some form of being lonely who grew up in the parish home of the pastor. The priest or the pastor now, he was something special in the village. He was esteemed highly. There was a common saying, I can't translate it right now, but it has something to do with the children of the pastor, yeah, that they are in a special situation. Sometimes they do well and sometimes they don't. He's quoting names now of philosophers and professors, scientists, poets, and they all come out of this tradition of being coming out of pastoral families. About 20% of all Lutheran pastors still come out of families where their father himself was a pastor. Another treasure of the Reformation are songs. So a flood of new songs came into the country. He himself, Luther, has written 34 songs, and some of them are still being sung today. Yeah, he is mentioning all these songs. And these songs were also impacting the Catholic Church. Here in Germany, we had a new wave of songs in the 70s. Yeah. with a strong influence of Youth with a Mission and a whole flood of new songbooks emerged that enriched church services. And the Catholics discovered we need that also. After the Lutheran songbook from Leipzig, the Catholic Church also published a new songbook. For Luther, music was a gift of God. He himself played several instruments, flute and laute. Other composers and authors of songs at this time became famous. A further and final treasure of the Reformation that I want to mention here was the educational system. Melanchthon, Bugenhagen and others sought to found new schools in the cities. Luther wrote to leaders in all of Germany that about the importance of schools for boys and girls. And the people in the cities ought to support these educational initiatives by giving larger donations and smaller ones. And so some rich Lutherans made big donations towards that cause. And so in many cities, schools were begun. So even before the Reformation, there were certain churches that were known as churches where you could go to hear good sermons. But that was multiplied, of course, during the Reformation period. So these were the treasures, these are the treasures of the Reformation that came to my mind when thinking about this.